Ladies and gentlemen, we got about a minute before we start. If you will, go ahead and turn your cell phones to the silent position. And we'll start at 7 o'clock, which is about a minute from now. So if you will, please turn your cell phones and all electronic devices to the silent position. And we'll start at 7 o'clock sharp.
Testing.
Just dropped the temperature, son.
Okay, good.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's 7 o'clock sharp. We'll go ahead and bring our meeting to order. Ms. City Clerk, would you please call the roll to the City Council?
What causes that? Okay. The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
The Honorable Ulysses Smallwood.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Palin.
Present.
Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
Mr. Mayor, you have a quorum.
Thank you so much. At this time, we don't want to please stand. We'll have an invocation. Actually, our city administrator will administer the invocation.
If you would please bow with me. Father, we stand before you this evening as humbly as we know how, saying thank you. Thank you for the gift of another day. Thank you for all the abundant blessings therein. Father, as we gather this evening, we also thank you for the gift of service, being able to serve our communities, to serve residents, to serve those in need through the city of Fairburn. As we deliberate and discuss the issues before us this evening, Father, we ask that you bless this meeting, that everything that is done here, said here, and the outcomes thereof are pleasing first and foremost and acceptable in your sight. Father, bless us to work well together, to do the best work that we can for each other and those around us. It is in your Son's holy name that we pray, as all that agreed said, amen.
Amen.
At this time, we don't have any presentation or proclamation. Do we have, in this case, like to adopt the City Council agenda? Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Motion is made by Mr. Alex Heath. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilman Smallwood. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, we have the City Council meeting minutes before you for the meeting that commenced on August the 22nd, 2022. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Motion is made by Councilwoman Davis. There's second.
Second.
Second by Councilman Heath. Is there any questions about the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, public comment. Ms. City Clerk, do we have any people here wish to speak at public comment?
Yes, we have three speakers.
Would you go ahead and call our first speaker?
Honey Williams.
And as you're coming to the mic, 30 minutes will be allotted for public comment. Each speaker shall speak for 3 minutes. However, the speaker may transfer his or her 3 minutes to another speaker, but no speaker shall speak for more than 6 minutes. All issues raised at this time are generally referred to the city administrator's office for reviews, and responses will be provided at a later date. Go ahead, Ms. Honey.
Good evening.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to turn my minutes over to Ms. Udall.
Okay.
The come next up. Speaker is Mr. Lee Watson.
Well, she's going to defer her time.
Yeah, but she's behind Mr. Watson.
Oh,
he was in here first. So
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let Mr. Watson speak first.
Mr. Watson, come on up, sir.
This is okay. Good evening, Mayor, Council members. Lee Walton. 43 Green Street. Glad to have the opportunity to be here this evening to speak to you. I live directly behind the old Campbell County Courthouse. And I think you all would have received a letter from myself and neighbors last week as a result of and after the fire that occurred on September 1st, if I'm not mistaken. First and foremost, want to again recognize, thank, show great appreciation for the Fairburn Fire Department and the other firefighters from other departments that came out not once but twice that day to address the fire, worked tirelessly all night. We watched them for a good bit of the night, but not all night. They were there in the morning still when I got up and went back out. So amazing work, amazing effort, and I think successful achievement on the part of the firefighters. Secondly, I want to thank Mr. Phillips for his responses to the email correspondence that myself and neighbors sent, and also for making a lot of time available to meet with me in person to talk in great detail about what you have been doing and talking about and intent and expectations for the future. I'm representing a small group of residents that immediately surround the courthouse. We are keenly interested in the courthouse, the building, the property, its future in a lot of ways, and I won't take the time to go into detail about that. What I most hope for is the opportunity to be involved as community, those of us surrounding the courthouse and the broader community, the whole community, in the process of communication about what's happening, about what's next, and especially about planning and talking about what the possibilities are for use of the building, for restoration, how we can help, how we can participate. We see ourselves, and we hope you see us, as partners with the city. We would very much like to be involved. We'd like to assist to the extent we can help. Talk to others, identify possibilities, identify possible funding sources. We recognize that we're very appreciative that there is insurance, apparently, that's able to contribute and cover some of the recovery efforts. We also expect that that's not going to be nearly enough to do the whole job that needs to be done, and that everybody's going to have to pitch in to find the resources needed. So representing the folks that I've been talking to, we're eager to participate in that process, looking forward to the opportunity, and looking forward to as great an outcome of this fire as happened with the 2010 fire downtown. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, sir.
The next speaker is Mr. Ellen Stegall.
Stegall, come on up.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
I just say my name is Ellen Stegall. I'm at 120 Oak Street over at the historic area. My question is, today, I get ready to take my brother some food over behind Labarck Christian School. And I'm trying my best to figure out why is Bay Street blocked off from 8:30 to 3:30 for Labarck Christian School. I'm not understanding that. How is that they can get special privilege for that in the first beginning when Campbell High School was there and none of that happened? When I was going there, none of that was happening. So today, I get up to take his food, and it's, you can't get around. You got to go all the way around there. Well, if an ambulance come out of that way, and they're going to have to go back around, go up the hill, go around to, or go out Milo Fisher and come up. Anything can happen. Fire department have to get there, and people was turned away because the signs say no drive-through traffic. That's not fair. That's Bay Street. Then from the Bay Street on behind my house on Federal Road, can we get a four-way stop sign? We have a two-way stop, but you have to already pull out in front of the street in the first beginning in order to get across the street. And there are one time too many accidents are happening right there. I'm to the point I'm scared that it's going to be a fatality. There's a house there. They put bars up to keep the cars from going into the house, which that house have been hit. And I'm just asking if we can have a four-way stop to keep it from someone from getting killed. I don't want to walk out my back door when I have walked out my back door and seen cars get hit. I have been at that stop sign and almost got hit head on as well because the person is trying to come out and the car is veering off in my way. That is very dangerous. It's to the point that my child now won't even drive a car. She's traumatized for it. She would not even get a license to, because from that first beginning of what had happened there. And last is that going down Bay Street, we're having too many trees falling on Bay Street and also Green Street. Coming at the stop sign on Oak Street and Green Street, had a branch to fall right in front of my car. What can we do about trees that's actually out past the poles on Green Street, out past the poles on Bay Street? What can we do to get this? Because these are old trees. I have one myself that I have to get branches out the street as well, but these are old trees. And it's not fair that when you also going down the highway, when you on Fayetteville Road, Camilton Road, when you got trees hanging all the way over on the street. I know some of them have been trimmed back, but that's not enough to be trimmed back. It's not enough. And before I say last, if we can have police officers to sit up around the courthouse and watch the people at the stop sign, running that stop sign, why we can't have officers on Bay Street and Oak Street watch for these speeders when their children trying to enjoy themselves or when people are walking up Bay Street and that you almost get hit. It's bad enough that the school buses are driving entirely too fast, not have to sit out there and watch, and they don't give people time to get out the way. You got to run out the street for them to even get out the way. If you don't, you're going to be ran over. And too many cars are coming up and down Bay Street flying like they have no sense. And they feel like that just one little spot, they just got to speed. It's already bad when they tore the bell down at St. Mark, tore it completely off, just tore it off the bricks. And it just doesn't make any sense. And that is dangerous. And I'm scared a child is going to get hit. And what about with this traffic still? When you got cars blocking the intersections. I thought it's supposed to be no blocking intersections. When you got cars at by Oz Pizza at Camilton going up on the bridge, and they still sitting out in the street. And when you got to get by, then you got to lay on your horn, and they're looking at you like you crazy because you got them sitting there at the intersection. And when you cannot get around to even make that turn because we have so much traffic. And, oh, my goodness. Tractor trailers. I am so sick and tired of tractor trailers coming down Oak Street and Bay Street, flying through there, tearing down my lights, tearing down the cable lines. It just don't make any sense. We have to constantly have our cable lines put back up. They'll also snag up on the lights, on the electrical lines. And I'm scared once they hit that again. Luckily, the truck that came out, and he said point blank, his GPS told him to come down my street. No, we don't need 18-wheelers coming on Fayetteville, coming off of Fayetteville Road onto Bay Street. We don't need that. We don't need dump trucks coming through there flying like they on a racetrack. It's ridiculous. It's highly ridiculous. My dog even got hit by the City of Fairburn truck a couple of years ago because they was flying, and we was walking, and they were scared. It shouldn't be flying on that street in the first beginning, and it really, really needs to stop. And I definitely appreciate if y'all can definitely let me know why on earth is that street blocked off. That is not safety, and it's not fair that a school can actually have that. That's all I have to say tonight. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. Any more speakers?
No, that's it.
Okay, that's it. And at this time, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our public comment. We'll go to our first agenda item, to create a crosswalk project.
The Art Advisory Council and staff recommends that Mayor and Council approve the proposed art designs and concepts for the creative crosswalk project. This is planning and zoning and economic development.
Go ahead,
Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening. Good evening.
The agenda item before you this evening is the Creative Crosswalk Project. The purpose of this project is for, the purpose of this agenda item is for the Mayor and City Council to approve the Art Advisory and staff's recommendations of artists to design and install creative crosswalk murals for four locations within the downtown historic district. In keeping with the comprehensive plan and the strategic placemaking strategy, the City of Fairburn has identified areas throughout the downtown area to place creative crosswalks. These creative crosswalks would include painted murals. In this continuing effort, a call for artists or request for proposals was conducted in June 22nd and closed out on July 21st. The timeline set before you is the time in, to review all of these projects, to receive the artist, to evaluate, and for the installation and finalization of the project. The Art Advisory received this, the proposals at the closing of the call for artists, and that was on August 18th through August 24th. A special call meeting of the Art Advisory was to review the staff recommendations and to further evaluate the artists that we received. We received a total of four proposals from artists. The design guidelines were based on the work being of an original artwork created by the artist, something that was appropriate and in keeping with our downtown area. The color scheme was not to exceed six colors, and it needed to be scaled the length of the project, the length of the crosswalk area. The materials are in keeping with sustainability, where they will not be removed or can endure the consistent traffic up to 3 years. This is the guidance, the scoring card, in which each of the artists were ranked or scaled. Experience, 20%, concept, artist merit and quality, fee proposal, and that provided a weighted weighted average. This is the first artist that we received. This piece is called Pedestrian, Jason Tetlick. The second artist was Desiree Udell. The third artist was Rod Parker, and this is The Little Astronaut. The fourth artist is Miss Nayla Smith, Be Good, Be Kind. The review of the artist proposal produced these results or weighted scores from the staff review. The staff review process included not only scaling the projects, but identifying whether they wanted one artist to do all four of the locations or whether they wanted to identify one artist per location, and that was in keeping with the call for artists inside of the request for proposals. These are the locations and the site selections. For Fairburn Youth Center, Ms. Nayla Smith. For the Duncan Park location, Jason Tetlick. For Landmark Christian School, Nayla Smith. And for Campbell Elementary, Rod Parker. Please keep in mind, this was the first level review. The Art Advisory Council was provided with this review, and they were also surveyed as to, in keeping with the artists that they received results for, they did their own set of scoring. From those results, it is the recommendation of the Art Advisory Council that Nayla Smith provide the mural design for the Youth Center in Duncan Park, Jason Tetlick, Pedestrian, provide the mural for Landmark Christian School, and Rod Parker, the little astronaut, provide the mural design for Campbell Elementary Crosswalk. The artist selection process that we set before you, if you accept the recommendation from the Art Advisory Council, would be to go with these three artists. Those artists will be notified. Once they're notified, they will be given 80% of the overall $3,200 for supplies, and following which the remaining 20% will be paid as a final payment. Are there any questions regarding the process or the artist?
In this case, I'll bring the item to the floor. Members of Council, you have before you the Art Advisory Council, and staff recommends the Mayor and Council approve the proposed art designs and concepts for the Creative Crosswalk Project. Is there a motion?
So moved.
There's a second?
Second.
Any questions or comments about the process?
Yes, ma'am. What's the timeline?
The timeline for implementation is over the next 30 days. And I did, I did want to invite the chair of the Art Advisory Council, Ms. Anna Tavia Benson, to come up.
Okay, and then secondly, you stated that the material that would be used is sustainable, that it won't wear off. Or are there any maintenance required with any of those?
So a part of the request for proposals was that the artists identify materials that would maintain for at least 3 years. So in terms of the maintenance, overall maintenance, it should be consistent with basic street cleaning or it would not deteriorate.
Any other member of council? You want to go ahead and say something, ma'am?
Just good evening, Mayor and Council, and that the Art Advisory Committee was very excited about this project. We think that this will encourage art to be installed further within the city. The colors are vibrant and exciting, and we also hope to identify the artists' proposals and their explanations, hopefully on Fairburn's website in order to give more explanation to it and promote art further.
I have one other question. Are any of the artists Fairburnites? Okay, all three?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Great.
No other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The next item is a mural installation. It's for Mayor and Council's approval for the installation of a painted mural by John Christian of Go Georgia Arts Incorporated on the side exterior wall of the building located at 41 West Broad Street. And this is by the City Administrator's Office.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ms. Chris.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm proud to present to you tonight for your approval the final rendering of the mural to be placed at the side of the building on Smith Street and Highway 29. What I will do is try to give you an overview of this project and how we got to where we are today. This information is based on information I was able to gather that was on save files, in addition to a lot of help from the chairwoman of the Arts Council. So in October of 2019, the City of Fairburn applied for the Go Georgia Arts Mural Grant. The grant application was submitted for installation of a mural. The original location was the Annex Building. The execution of that contract took place in March of 2020 with an anticipated completion date of December 30th of 2020. The grant offer is a labor in-kind grant where the artist agreed to paint the first 200 square feet at no charge to the city other than cost for design, paint, and supplies. On March 17th, the Art Advisory Council had their first meeting, and the members were appointed on February 24th. As I go through the presentation, you will see there are gaps in submissions of designs for the mural. That's due to other projects, status update on the Annex Building, COVID-19, and scheduling conflicts. Based on the information that was shared with me and what I was able to gather, the first mural design was submitted to staff in June of 2020. There were various designs submitted for consideration between the dates of June 15, 2020 and August 25, 2022. A discussion was started around May of 2021 in reference to the condition of the Annex Building. Staff, along with the artists, noticed that the Annex Building, the side wall is in disrepair. There was a lot of chipping of the paint, and so due to the condition of that building, they decided that it was not suitable for the placement of a mural. And so the process was started to find another location, in which the final location became the building on Smith Street in 29. Around July of 2022, discussions resumed with the artists in reference to changing the direction and kind of like the feel of the mural. At that time, I want to say around May of 2022, the Arts Council was notified that the College Park mural was painted by the same artist. And so that kind of changed the direction of the mural that they wanted here in the city of Fairburn. If approved tonight, for the mural installation, it's anticipated to commence in November of this year. However, the artist has advised that they may be able to move that up based on projects and scheduling. So once we provide the approval, if it's granted tonight, we'll have a more solid commencement date. But as of right now, it's anticipated of November of this year. So the purpose of the mural is to enhance the community character by strengthening economic development and cultural expression. The city hopes to revitalize downtown Fairburn and attract people and businesses to the area. Implementing the creative placemaking strategy by investing in public art will help to address the overarching goal of ensuring economic vitality and creating a vibrant downtown. In addition, we believe a mural will strengthen community identity and pride, as well as create more spaces of social interaction through the incorporation of well-designed art into the city's infrastructure for public engagement. Okay. So based on information that we have, this was the initial design presented by the artist. It's my understanding that this design was printed. There wasn't a true focus of the mural. I can tell you that based on my review of this artist's work, a lot of his designs are based on pictures and like historical information within the cities that he's painted murals. So once this was the initial design, it's my understanding that after that, the Arts Council decided to change the focus, which was to focus on the education system and STEAM here within the city of Fairburn, highlighting students from the various schools. Here's a rendering that was provided around December 15th of 2020. Again, that focus remains on the STEAM and education here. And I think at this point, it was decided by the Arts Council to include some imagery in reference to the train and as it relates to the city of Fairburn. Again, another rendering. Just in the notes, this mural came back up. I want to go back for a moment, and I'll ask Ms. Benson to come back up and provide a little bit of clarity. As my understanding, when they received this rendering of the mural, they wanted to change the direction. I don't think they like the idea of the placement of the wheelchair in front of the train and the message that would send. And so the artist decided to go back to the original focus of the mural. By this time, staff on the left-hand side is a rendering of what staff provided the artist as kind of the direction in which the city wanted to go and what they wanted to see. The rendering on the right is actually what was provided by the artist based on what staff provided on the left. So they wanted to make sure that the Fairburn symbol, what I refer to as a teardrop, was clear with pictures, making sure that we highlight some of the items that are our focus here in the city of Fairburn, from the Renaissance Festival, from our center stage at the Frankie Arnold Stage and Courtyard, and just kind of what Fairburn represents. Did you want to add anything, Ms. Spencer?
One of the main points of focus for the Art Advisory Council was to make sure that we included not only where we are moving in the future, but to also highlight our present state and to look back at the past, which was one of the reasons why in previous submissions, like the Campbell Courthouse was included, why we focused on the train, because of course that has a historical reference throughout Fairburn as well. The more that we talked to Mr. Christian, the more that we were able to flesh out true important key aspects of Fairburn. When you think of Fairburn, what comes to mind? of course the arts, of course our train, of course our city history. We also at the time were looking at the Global Impact Academy, so of course we were bringing STEAM into it. We wanted to include the youth and include the arts, include education, also take a look at our agricultural roots as well. And then we also started looking at projects that we knew were coming up within the city. So as we listed more and more ideas and more identity points for us, our scope increased. And the artist was willing to work with us, but needed very, very specific points to include within the mural. So as our scope grew, our pictures grew as well. And Ms. Kress will continue with explaining where we then landed.
So before you, Mayor and Council, is the final rendering of the mural for your approval. I will say the artist does require very detailed direction. This it required me to put together a document with arrows pointing where we wanted specific items within this mural. So, of course, we do have the reference of the train. As Duncan Park being a focal point, everybody comes to Fairburn for Duncan Park. We thought it was important that we highlight our slide, our pool slide. The letter F represents arts, so in that letter you have an art palette with brushes. Letter A is for represents music, so we added the treble clef. Letter I is an image to represent our agriculture, urban farming, and our community garden. And we thought that was important, especially with the city recently passing our community garden plan. R represents dance. Letter B represents the image of the Renaissance Festival. I know everyone knows it happens. I don't know if people know it's in Fairburn. And so I think that it was important for the Arts Council to make sure that that was highlighted in the mural. Letter U is the image of course, the Frankie Arnold stage and courtyard. Letter I just represents the recreation and our kids playing here in Fairburn with the Fairburn Flames. And letter N represents the theater. And so we thought it was important for them to add the situated to succeed. And with that, ultimately, that's what the council, the Arts Advisory Council, has approved for your consideration for installation at the building on Smith Street. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Members of council, you have before you for mayor and council to approve for the installation of a painted mural by John Christian of Go Georgia Arts, Inc. on the side exterior wall of the building located at 41 West Broad Street, Fairburn, Georgia. Is there a motion?
So moved.
The motion is by Mr. Smallwood, second by Mr. Alex Eve. Any questions?
What's council?
You have a question?
No, I was just saying it was a good job.
Mr. Whitmore, you had a question? Oh.
Okay. I just wanted to make one comment. The picture, we need to update the picture of the Frankie Arnold stage. The picture you have is without her name, so I make sure that that's there. I want to say thank you. I think it's a beautiful presentation, and I also agree that it reflects both our past, our present, and you know our future, and showing all the various points. So I love that, and I love the colors. That are presented as well. One question, how long does the mural last? I mean, are there any fading issues? What are the maintenance requirements of it? And I know we approved a contract with the building owner for the mural, but I don't recall the time frame or if that was even referenced in that.
So I'll follow up with the artist. I know I need to get the final dimensions, of course, the initial mural was for the annex. I know there were some change orders to the agreement, and so there were some additional fees to make it bigger, but I'll verify so that we can ensure what we know what the maintenance requirements are. He has not outlined any in the agreement that was executed, but I'll make sure that I'll follow up with council with that.
All right, and then a different question, but about artists, the artwork. Any discussion or thinking about a mural on the building that's in the courtyard? the huge open vacant. Okay, and I know you talked about building condition as some issues with painting a mural, but is there an opportunity to do, was it fabrication of some kind, a canvas or something that we can overlay on that building to just, because that's just a huge void there, and we really could use some vibrancy there.
If my memory serves me correct, when the application was submitted, I want to say that that building in the courtyard was an area of consideration for a potential mural. The city does not own that. We could potentially do something once the condition of that building is properly assessed in the future. If we want to do a canvas art, I think that that's a project that the Arts Council will be willing to undertake. It would just have to be with a different artist.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I'd love that discussion. And then my second question is, I know there was some discussion about art project painting all of the utility boxes mm-hmm. in various parts, and where is that?
So our arts in our previous Arts Advisory Council meeting, they are reviewing their project list, and so we will be coming back before council in October to submit with you an update on where they are in the next projects that they're seeking to move forward. Those I know that will include the utility boxes as well as our underpasses.
Okay, and if I recommend the priority would be those utility boxes that are near the crosswalks that are under consideration. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other members of council got a question? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. The next item is, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. You can announce it.
The next item is ordinance to abolish comp leave policy and authorize change to leave accruals.
Item number three.
Item number three is the Art Advisory Council appointment. Mayor Avery would like to appoint Frederick Hopper to fill the unexpired term of Michael Swadwick on the Arts Advisory Board. The term will begin immediately and will expire February 24, 2024.
Members of Council, you have before you approval of the City Council and Mayor for the nomination of Frederick Hopper to finish in an unexpired term. Is there a motion? We'll bring it to the floor.
No,
is there a second?
Second.
Any comments? In this case, actually speaking with the Art Advisory Council, this gentleman came highly recommended, and then as relates to, as you can see, extensive meetings and contacts of art work and input that's being placed in several of the members, again, asked for this gentleman to be brought in to finish this term. Is there any other questions?
Do you have any additional information on
I thought I had a resume in here.
His resume was emailed out.
Does she? I believe Miss. I'm sorry, I forget your last name. I'm sure you know.
Yes. I'm sorry. You go ahead. We want to talk about.
I missed the question.
Yeah, we're on the appointment of Frederick Hopper.
Yes.
And so I wondered if you had any input you wanted to add to that.
Just that he is an officer with the City of Atlanta Police Department. Has had over 25 years of experience with the arts and is currently serving on a number of movie film lots as first AD and as also works with the youth in a lot of community centers and such in promoting the arts, has a bit of an arts background in his educational training as well. I have actually, and I guess this is a bit of a bias, so forgive me, I've worked with him closely on a number of film projects, and so was actually the individual who recommended him to fill Mr. Swicky's spot because of his dedication to the arts, his dedication to youth, and more than anything, his attention to detail and willingness to speak up and speak his mind if something does not seem right. He is a resident of Fairburn and loves the city and wanted to help in any way that he could. And so, honestly, when I was working on a project with him recently, I mentioned the Art Advisory Council, and he said, "How can I help?" I did not say a word, but immediately started asking questions, knowing that Mr. Sawicki's position had been left vacant to see if he could fill in.
Mr. Smallwood, you had a question.
Is this the same Frederick Harper from Meet the Snows?
Yeah, I know
indeed
him.
He's a fabulous
gentleman. He works on with me at Next Level Boys Academy, so yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
Now, thank you for that additional information. That's very good. Very good.
Mr. Whitmore, you still have the floor.
Oh, that's it, Mayor.
Okay. Any other inquiries by council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
The next item is item number 4, which is an ordinance to abolish comp leave policy and authorize change to leave accruals. This is for Mayor and Council's approval to the ordinance to abolish the compensatory time policy provisions, authorize payout of the fired personnel current balance of comp leave front load 72 hours of annual leave to fired personnel assigned to a 24-hour shift, and authorize a new sick leave policy and annual leave accrued rate schedule that reflects years of service to all full-time employees.
Okay. Members of Council, you have before you the stated motion by the city clerk. This is the item we discussed in workshop. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion is by Mayor Pro Tem. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitmore. Okay, Mr. Alex Heath, I'm sorry, I couldn't. Are any other additional questions for Ms. Champagne regarding this item? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
The next item is a resolution to adopt the FY 2022 millage rate. This is for Mayor and Council to adopt the millage rate, 1.46 mils for general obligation, which is your GO bond indebtedness, and 8.1 mils for the millage rate for a total of 9.56 mils.
Okay. Members of Council, you have before you for Mayor and Council to adopt the 2022 millage rate at 1.46 mils for general obligation bonds and indebtedness and 8.1 mils for the millage rate for a total of 9.56 mils. This is by the Finance Department. Is there a motion? There's second.
Second.
Motion is made and properly second. And I apologize, I didn't see who made that second motion.
I did.
Mr. Heath, second by Mr. Heath. Any questions or comments by members of council? Mr. Before you ask a question, do you have anything you want to add as it relates to the budget, Mr. Finance Director?
Not for the millage rate.
Okay.
Pretty much everything you said.
Okay. That's pretty straightforward.
Mayor.
Okay, go ahead, somebody.
Can you tell me what the millage rate has been in the past? It seemed like it was 9.1.
Can you speak in the mic, Councilman Heath, please?
Oh, I was asking what our millage rate was in the past. Seemed like it was 9.1 there. So I was just wanting to make sure of that.
So our millage rate has been 8.1 all the way to 2013. What has changed over time has been the bond rate.
Bond rate
puts it up to the 9.56. So, but it's been the same 1.46 for the last 2 years.
Thank you for your information.
Okay. Any other questions regarding the millage rate? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Next item is the ordinance to adopt the FY 2022-2023 budget. Mayor and Council to adopt the ordinance, and I'm going to let you have this.
Thank you, Ms. Brenda. Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
I come before you today with the ordinance to adopt the fiscal year 2022-2023 budget. Staff held work sessions on August 15th and August 16th and a public hearing on the 22nd. Throughout the budget process, staff ensured the key needs of the city were captured and accounted for while following the mission of refresh, rebrand, and renew. The balanced budget before you is the result of that hard work. The FY 2022-23 budget will be $23,547,873 in the general fund, $39,470,584 in other funds, for a total of $63,018,450. Staff recommends the adoption of the FY 2022-2023 budget.
Members of Council, you have before you for Mayor and Council to adopt the ordinance for the fiscal year 2022-23 budget for $23,547,873 in the general fund and $39,470,000 $584,584, and other funds for a total budget of $63,018,457. Is there a motion?
So moved.
There's a second. Any questions or comments about the budget?
Yes,
Ms. Ma'am, go ahead.
Thank you. Could you state for the record what are the other funds that total the $39,470,584?
The other funds that make up that amount is confiscated funds. Would you like for me to give you the amounts or just the titles?
Titles.
Mm-hmm. The confiscated funds, American Rescue Act, our grants funds, tree fund, technology fee fund, hotel motel tax, capital projects, gold bonds, T-Splosh, water and sewer, which these are the enterprise funds now, water and sewer, stormwater, water and sewer bond, electric, sanitation, and our educational complex.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions regarding the budget? Let me just say before I take the vote, let me thank every department head in our government, the city executive staff has for an outstanding presentation. For those of in the public that didn't get a chance to see it, department by department presentation in great detail. Just again, want to commend every department head and every department represented that was here for one of the most detailed budgets I think I've ever sat through. Including other areas and other governments. And so, again, thank you for a job well done. With that being said, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks. The next item is item number 7, which is GRPA Boost Grant Memorandum of Understanding, and this is for Mayor and Council to approve the 2022-23 Georgia Recreation and Parks Association Boost Program Memorandum of Understanding.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you start first.
Okay, I'm sorry. My voice is a little hoarse today. But greetings, Mayor and Council. What you have before you is our MOU for the GRPA Boost Program Grant. Fairburn Parks and Recreation Department received a reimbursable award of $59,000 from the GRPA Build Opportunities Out of School Time Grant, which is known as the Boost After School Grant. This is a reimbursable grant. Our city was selected to operate a comprehensive after-school program to help address the learning loss in Georgia for the 2022-2023 school year. Our funding resources will be allocated towards transportation and hiring certified Fulton County teachers within our area to assist with our after-school program, offering assistance in literacy, which is a downfall in our area currently, and also with STEM arts and culture, as well as leadership and recreation, health, and wellness led by our internal recreation staff.
Members of Council, you have before you for Mayor and Council to approve a 2022-23 Georgia Recreation and Parks Association Boost Program Memorandum of Understanding. Is there a motion?
So moved.
A motion is made by Mr. Heath, is second by Mr. Smallwood. Any questions or comments by council? Seeing none? Okay, go ahead, Ms. Davis.
I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
I read that this was a very, very competitive award grant. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Any other comments by council?
Yes, I have one question.
Go ahead.
I want to say congratulations as well. And are you Mrs.? Is that yet? Congratulations,
yes,
on that, too.
I'm Mrs. Scott, yes.
You're Mrs. Scott. Yes. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
On that. I see that diamond you flashing over there. My question to you is the $59,000 the total cost of the program, or are we, there's additional budget dollars from the Recreation Department budget to support it?
Yes, we have additional recreation dollars in the budget to help support supplies. We will utilize our current staff, but the recreation dollars will support additional hiring of any staff members, and that will be through our connections with our local school systems and getting teachers from our feeder schools.
All right, and have you establish that budget?
Yes, that's already included within our budget that was approved.
All right. And if you'll just follow up and just let me know what that amount is for this particular program.
Yes, we'll do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And congratulations again.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Like I said earlier, congratulations on your marriage. And I just wanted to ask, this is something that ever since I went up to a northern state and saw this, I just thought this would be phenomenal for us. So my question is, what is the possibility of doing, like, I know we're doing a lot of things for the youth and after-school programs, but for the adults in our community, you know, to work, play, and so on and so forth. But I would love to see there to be, like, ceramics classes, even canning. I mean, canning is a lost art. Quilting, even art, and that would be something that maybe our older, more mature people could do, and well, even younger people might be interested in doing that. Could you get something together to show what that kind of cost would be?
Yes, so we just concluded this year our Sensational Summer Senior program, which throughout the entire summer for about a 12-week program, we offered daily classes through arts and crafts. We have some amazing projects on our Instagram and through our newsletter where we did candle making, we did jewelry making, we've done bags. Thank you, Miss Honey, for offering, because she comes to all of them. So I was about to lean on you just a little bit. Okay, so we inserted walking every Mondays and Wednesdays. We did a walking. Our seniors this year walked 713 miles throughout the summer. Come on up, Miss Honey, who is an avid participant in our senior programming.
We made bags, planted flowers, water aerobics. That's correct. Mm-hmm. We started walking again today. It's amazing.
Like we did.
So we did.
Did some enrichment programs.
Exactly.
Brought in some of our resources from Medicaid Healthcare.
Yes.
We have a deep dementia program that we have coming up shortly.
Don't say that.
Coming up shortly in partnership, our Faribault Police Department led a senior-focused women's self-defense class. We learned how to hook with our canes and do some different things this summer. So we just concluded. We kicked off today, which is September 12th, with our new programs that will go throughout the fall, including early winter.
And I'm thoroughly enjoyed.
One last question. Did you have a lot of participation by the older folks on that?
Yes, we are actually
absolutely.
Look, we max out. I wish we had more spaces. We normally, our programs are free. We try to keep them as free as possible. The only thing that really costs right now is our water aerobics, which was $2, and that concluded. But we try our best to keep costs very, very, very minimal. Our senior walking club celebrated with a cookout about a week ago last week that celebrated their milestone of reaching that 713 miles, and they're gearing up now to keep it going. So we're excited. So I just want to thank Mayor and Council for supporting our first Sensational Summers program. And we are now, thank you. So we now have established the Faribault Sensational Seniors, and that is our program that we are continuing through, and they'll go through fall, winter, summer, and we'll keep going. I mean, fall, winter, spring, summer. Sorry, we got a season. And we'll keep continuously going. But we wanted to also add this now as the focus with our youth to bring them back and re-engage.
I just had one thing pop in my mind. Speaking to the mic. Indoor basketball.
Yes.
Do you feel that there's a big need for that in our city? I do.
Yes.
And also, the classrooms that we could build off to the side of this to house the classrooms for the different things that we're talking about doing, the art classes and all. And so what I would like to see is maybe a price, if you could get that for us, a price to let us see how affordable it may be for us.
Yes, within our budget, in the Parks and Recreation budget, we did allocate funding for our Parks Master Plan that will look at our facilities and our resources and how we can expand those and make better use of the current space that we have currently at our youth center as well at Duncan Park, looking at putting community centers, looking at other green spaces around the city to offer some more green and walkability on the other side on 74. So that will all be included in that Parks Master Plan assessment.
Well, I know that there are grants. I'm not trying to interrupt you.
I know you're fine.
There are grants out there, but maybe we could apply for some of those grants.
That's a very good point, Councilman Heath, and to add to what Mrs. Scott just shared with us, the decision to have funding in the budget for Parks Master Plan is so that we can make the best informed decisions.
Yes.
I know this is a key issue for Councilman Whitmore.
Yes, sir.
I've spoken at length. This was a priority for him before I got here, so he's made that very clear. And so I know there's some desire on you as elected officials to have this done, but there's a lot of desire in our community.
Gotcha.
In my experience, and I have had specific experience in Parks and Recreation, the best way to go about this is with a master plan process.
Yes.
It will be collaborative. It will engage our communities. It will engage you as elected officials.
Yes.
So when it's time to actually make hard decisions about where to spend money and what that facility needs to look like and what amenities should be in there, it will have the voice of our residents, you as elected officials, and everyone else. And so, yes, we will look at funding formulas. Where are the grants? How do we afford it? Is it feasible? All of that is part of that Parks Master Plan. So we're excited about that. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that the fact that Mrs. Scott is standing here is a testament to her dedication.
Yeah.
I sent a message to her not to be here tonight because she's actually going on her honeymoon starting tomorrow.
Yes.
Oh, but her dedication to the city of Fairburn.
Yes, yes.
Here. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. And she needs to hurry up so she can go
yeah.
for her honeymoon.
Mr. Whitmore and then Ms. Davis.
Yes, just one more, just for the record. Would you just share with Mayor and Council some of the actual thoughts? I know the master plan is going to be a great thing. This is something that kind of came up once the new administration came on, which is good. But just talk about some of the things that we have already identified as far as a community center, the type of community center that we're hoping or that we would like to see with the ability to actually rent it out for various functions and so on and so forth, along with the auditorium and also the nature walking trail on that. Can you just highlight some of that stuff for me, please?
Yeah, so as we know, we have a need. Our community has told us that we definitely have a need for a large community space. Through our Parks Master Plan, that will include staff engagement as well as mayor council engagement, as well as our community engagement to help develop a space that everyone can come to. That's youth-focused, senior-focused, community-focused, young adult-focused, that offers classroom space, helps with life skills. Our outdoor swimming pool has been such a blessing to our community, and we want to look at doing some type of indoor aquatics facility, you know, down the road. But we want to get the feedback of our community, as well as mayor and council, because we want to bring Duncan Park all together with the road that will offer an additional entrance. The facility will offer just a safe haven and a space for our community to come together and continue to thrive. And in Duncan Park is just, you know, the mural that's going up, you know, I can't say. I can always advocate for Duncan and our recreational programs.
And let me just go. I'm sorry, you still hit the floor.
I was just going to say thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, and I was just going to say again, we've for the public, we've talked about a lot about Parks and Recreation. In this case, we're blessed to have actually a gentleman here on our council that deals with youth, deals with these type of programs. I mean, you, Mr. Smallwood, as well as she may not remember this, but in 2013, Ms. Portis Jones asked me about this very thing in 2013, and so. Coincidentally, we just happened the former council member to sit in the room with us today was one of the biggest advocates of youth, Ms. Lydia Glaze. So these type of facilities that we're talking about building has been at the forefront again, and I want to thank council right now. As much as we're doing and as a city, a lot of our costs right now, we've got a few areas in our city that we have to take care of in 23, from sewer capacity to issues with the water authority. That's not going to be cheap, but there we have to address them. But simultaneously, we're looking at how do we simultaneously still grow as a city, which we've done, and the staff in place, I want to commend you. We've done phenomenal work this year in light of some of the hurdles that's been in front of us. And so, again, I'm excited about what I believe Duncan Park, as well as a park on the other side of Highway 74, Ashbury Park, to be exact. I'm anxious to see what it looks like when we end up with a park in that area. So with that being said, if no other comments, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations again.
Congratulations.
Enjoy your honeymoon.
Next item is item number 8, is a resolution for the 2022 Fulton County Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Before you, is for Mayor and Council to approve a resolution authorizing the City of Fairburn adoption of the 2022 Fulton County Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan. The Federal Disaster Mitigation Plan of Act of 2000 provides the legal framework for FEMA mitigation planning requirements for state, local, and tribal governments as a condition of mitigation grant assistance. Staff recommends the Mayor and Council approve this resolution authorizing the City of Fairburn adoption of the 2022 Fulton County Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Members of Council, you have before you, staff recommends that Mayor and Council approve a resolution authorizing the City of Fairburn to adopt the adoption of the 2022 Fulton County Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan. Is there a motion?
No move.
A motion by Mr. Heath. Is there a second by Ms. Councilwoman Davis? Any questions or comments by Council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Next item is a portable modular building for a temporary fire station on Bohannon Road. You have it.
Mayor and Council, before you, we're asking for approval for the purchase and installation of a portable modular building for temporary fire station 23. Due to the major growth of the city and the extended response times fire and rescue apparatus, we have an emergency need to put a fire station in place on the east side of the city for better service and protection for our citizens and businesses. The fire department will need a temporary location to serve the eastern side of the city while fire station 23 is being constructed. This would greatly improve our response times. The total cost of the project is $274,571, with a 50% deposit of the unit cost of the 56 by 56 unit of $215,000, plus the total floor plan modification cost of $27,671, for a total of $135,171 due at contract signing, with the remaining balance of $133,600 due after completion. Staff recommends Mayor and Council approve the contractor selection for purchase and installation of portable modular building, temporary fire station 23.
Members of Council, you have before you, staff recommends the Mayor and Council approve the purchase and installation of a portable modular building for a temporary fire station on Bohannon Road in the amount of $274,571. Is there a motion?
So moved.
A motion by Mr. Pat Pallon. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, second by Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Portis Jones. Any questions or comments by Council? Go ahead, Ms. Davis.
Yes. Chief, I wanted to ask you how long in use for this temp, is it temporary or the satellite?
Speaking to the mic.
Okay, I'm sorry. How long do you expect this to be in use once the fire station 23 has been completed?
Well, as you know, when we construct the fire station, it's hard to say when it will be complete, but we're hoping the station would be complete within 10 to 12 months. And it may go further. It just depends.
Yeah, so there's an entire sequence, and I think Mr. Danny Smith, who's not here with us this evening,
the next council can give you a more detailed answer on exactly the timeline, because there's some variables in there. We have to bid out the architectural design, which is already underway, and there's several other contractual things we'll have to bid out. And then with the construction process itself, it's a given to weather delays and things of that nature. So what is informative about this particular option that we are presenting to Mayor and Council is this modular unit can be repurposed. So it's not a one-time use. We are growing as a city, and if we continue to grow at the rate that we grew since the last census, the likelihood is by the time we finish Fire Station 23, it'll be time to be talking about Fire Station 24. So this modular unit can be relocated as we need to deploy it to ensure that we have adequate fire safety across the city. And so it's not a singular investment for this particular instance, but will be useful to the city moving forward. It also helps us to maintain our ISO rating as we can move this modular station as we need to ensure adequate coverage so that we remain at the top of the ISO ratings.
Okay, that's great, because that was going to be my next question. How are we going to repurpose this satellite? Okay, thank you.
Mr. Heath and then Mr. Whitmore.
Well, basically, she asked the question that I was going to ask. Is with us building Fire Station 23, of course, it's been up and down as to when it will be built. But the thing of it is that with it being in close proximity to that location on Bohannon Road, I didn't see the need, but now I understand, because you're looking at an extended period of time before Station 23 is going to be built. And we do want to keep our ISO rating where it's at. We don't want to lose that. And so that pretty well answered my question. Thank you.
Thank you. And just so you know, we've got a very clear focus on continuing the progress on Fire Station 23 at the September 26th council meeting. You will have before you an item to award the architectural design RFP to a specific vendor. And so we are making concrete steps, but this keeps us in the optimal position as we continue to move forward on Fire Station 23.
Great. Okay. Mr. Whitmore, you had a question.
Yes, Chief. Just one quick question. So now, are you going to have a fire truck housed out there as well?
Yes.
Okay, so this modular station is going to be big enough where we can enclose the fire truck?
Well, we have to talk to Mr. Dana. He has all the details. Mm-hmm. But I can't get back with you on all the information.
Yeah, so there is a adjacent structure for the fire truck as well. It doesn't go in this modular unit. Mm-hmm. This is for the fire staff.
Right.
But there is an adjacent structure, a covering, if you will.
That was my question, because I didn't see it.
Okay,
I didn't see it here. So. Okay, that was my question, because I know that we don't leave the fire trucks out in the elements. You try to keep them nice and shiny and ready to go. So, all right, thank you.
Okay, it's a canopy type cover.
I got it.
School car porch.
Yeah, did you want to say anything, Mr. Martin? Okay. There being no other questions, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, Mr. City Administrator, you do the City Administrator report normally in the second meeting, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Would you do this because me and you talked about? Would you just kind of give a public? We talked about a comment about the Old Campbell County sure. Courthouse, just so the public and the members of the body would know what we're looking at.
Thank you, Mayor, for the opportunity to kind of provide an update on the Campbell County Courthouse fire and the steps that have been taken. I want to concur with Mr. Lee Walton in acknowledging and congratulating our fire department that did an outstanding job over about a 24-hour period that essentially their hard work and putting their lives on the line saved that structure. And so I just wanted to echo my appreciation for our fire department. We immediately began responding as soon as we were aware that the fire, in fact, I was en route to Fire Station 21 for a different reason the morning of the fire, and just kind of rerouted because it's, as you know, just a block over. And so I was actually on scene, me and Ms. Chris, for the early parts of that fire incident. We immediately contacted a fire mitigation vendor. Mr. Dana Smith was key in that. Before 24 hours, we had the facility boarded, had it fenced, and within 48 hours, we also had on site a generator to power dehumidifiers. We wanted to quickly stabilize the building. As you might imagine, when you fight a fire, there are literally thousands of gallons of water that are poured into that structure. And so you have to do everything you can to try to dry that out as quickly as you can, because that water will sit over time, and as we all know, that's not good. With that said, we've also engaged not only with our own fire marshal, but with the state fire marshal as well. They've launched investigations as to the cause of the fire, and that is still underway. We've also engaged Travelers Insurance, our insurance provider. The insurance claim process is also underway. As those processes move forward, we've left particularly the second floor of the building in stasis. We've not changed anything, because for the fire investigation and the insurance claim, you can't go in and start moving a bunch of things around until those processes complete. So the generator and the dehumidifiers will remain on site. We've made an intentional effort along with the fire staff, Ms. Chris and others, to gather as much information and be responsive to Mr. Walton and others in the community. It is not lost on us that the Campbell County Courthouse has a long history, 151-year history in the city of Fairburn. We have a lot of residents who are deeply connected to it. We understand all of that, and so we want to first and foremost conduct our due diligence. I don't know what the future of the facility will be. What we want to provide to you as decision makers and elected officials is a full assessment of the structural integrity of the building. Is it able to be restored? If so, what does that cost projection look like? What would it take to get the building restored? There are a lot of variables that come with that, and me and Mr. Walton kind of talked about some of this today. How would that be funded? And so there are a lot of questions to come. First and foremost, we need to know, what do we have? How much fire damage is there? There will be an insurance claim estimate, but that is more of a business proposition as opposed to the actual structural integrity of the building. So we've already engaged through a task order with Atlas to have structural engineers to come on site to that facility and do a complete assessment. So forthcoming to council, what you will see in the very near future is a full report on the status of the building. Is it structurally sound? Can it be renovated? If so, what does a path forward look like that? We've got a lot of information to gather as we move forward. We've got a very intentional process in place to do that. And we will, as always, be as transparent as possible with not only residents that immediately surround the Campbell County Courthouse, but with the city as a whole. And so we want to make sure that we go through that process in a way that gets a positive outcome for all concerned.
Thank you for that report. At this time, I will actually go to city council comments. I'll start with Mayor Pro Tem.
I just want to say that I, too, appreciate the work and effort of the fire department regarding the old Campbell Courthouse. I was devastated to hear that, we're suffering fire damage with it. We've talked about that building for a very, very long time, finally got the building from the county. They deeded to us, and I believe it was just a year ago that we actually received the deed, maybe 2 years now. So here we are. So, but out of tragedy comes opportunity, and I totally agree that there are some opportunities for us, and I am very elated and happy to know that the neighbors around the building and the community at large want to work with us to do everything possible to restore that building. So be assured that is the desire my desire specifically, but I believe it is of my colleagues as well, because we've been talking about doing something and having ownership of that building for the 8 years now that I've been on council. So here we are. But thank you for coming forward, Mr. Walker. And thank you for the communication that you shared with Mayor and Council regarding that. Thank you, Mr. Phillips, for the communication that you provided to keep us abreast of what's going on. Lastly, I just want to say again, thank you to the staff to Mr. David, our finance director, specifically. Under the leadership of Mr. Phillips and Ms. Chris for the outstanding budget process.
It worked very well, and talking about that budget together with all of the colleagues, I think, made for a more rich discussion, and I believe a better budget for the city, the citizens of Fairburn. So thank you so much for that. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, Mr. Whitmore.
No comments, Mayor.
Okay, Mr. Pat Pallon.
No comments.
Mr. Heath.
Yes, I just want to thank everybody for coming out tonight, and as well, the Campbell County Courthouse there originally has been a part of this city for quite some time. I can remember as a kid playing around that area. And so, like I say, it is that from my understanding that there are grants from the state of Georgia that will allow us to get monies from them to renovate a historic site. So that's the positive plus the insurance. So I feel like that the building is going to be redone. And all things saying before that was that the upper floors where the roof had leaked, that the floors had rotted to a degree and stuff like that, and was actually unsafe to really walk on. So now we'll be able to go in and refurbish all of that and make it a destination. And just thank everybody again, and have a blessed night. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Smallwood.
I'd just like to thank everyone for coming out. Also like to highlight, just thank the Art Committee Council, because I can see the work that you all are doing, bringing beauty to the city. I can see the process from just all the murals taking shape and going through that process. So thank you all for that. But I'd also like to highlight, even though she said a lot of things, and I'm sure our city's going to look into all of them, but I'd like to echo the speeding that I'm also seeing in the city as well past those stop signs. So I believe that is a concern. I know our city is growing and our neighboring cities have grown, so a lot of people are passing through. But I'm in Durham Lakes, and Durham Lakes Parkway has like 5 stop signs, and it's like they don't even see them. And I've communicated that as well to the chief as well. So I really would like us to look at that, because those are a lot of bus stops and kids there. So it's not only there as well, but I see it as well as from the light on 74. The other day someone went around me and just, I know they were doing like 120. So as the city is growing, I would just like to, not go out there target people and just all that, but I think a presence is still needed out there to ensure that they're abiding by those stop signs.
Okay. And I'm sorry, Ms. Davis.
Yes. Just briefly, I want to thank our chief of police. I want to share with you that you all are on the case with speeding down 92. I was on my way here to the council meeting, and I was approaching 92 from Vickers, and this car just whizzed by me. Next thing I saw was a Fairburn police car going after him. So you all are doing a great job, and thank you so much, because that traffic on 138 into 92 is horrendous, and they are speeding like they're on the raceway or something. So I just wanted to let you know that you all are doing a great job.
Thank you. Mr. City Attorney, I just want to, before I give my comments, we don't have an executive session, right?
No.
Okay.
The Howe Avenue condemnation, I think we might have one item.
Okay. Real estate. Okay. Well, okay. Okay, we have one item.
Yeah, we check.
Okay. But we do have an executive session, one item. Okay, real estate. But my final comments, and I'll be quick in this case, I want to just say again, congrats to Ms. Scott, formerly Ms. Payne, awesome, beautiful wedding, and the city administrator, just a beautiful ceremony. Weddings are totally different than the time I went through it 17 and a half years ago, but it was beautiful.
My age, man.
And so I want to just commend her and her honeymoon. Can I just ask again, as a city, we pray for one of our own that's going through a healing and a surgery tomorrow morning, a serious condition. And just in this case, it's, we pray for others, but we're going to pray for our own. And speaking of praying for our own, we want to pray for those two officers that lost their lives in the city of Marietta. We just experienced something similar in that boat, in that vein, about 2 months ago with one of our officers. So I can imagine what that government is going through with two of their officers that lost their lives doing in the line of duty, actually doing their job. So we pray for that family and those in that police department in the city of Marietta. Also, just a reminder that we're almost here, ladies and gentlemen. I think we're three Saturdays away from the biggest event in this year, this city's year, the Fairburn Festival. So I'll just ask that you please go on the website and look at, you know, just make sure you're there on time, because the city is putting their time and money into this event. And so, again, we're hoping to make a mark that'll be talked about for decades as a result of that. With that being said, can I entertain a motion to go into executive session for a real estate matter? Who said so moved? Mr. Heath, motion made by Mr. Heath, second by Ms. Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That motion carries. Is there a second? I mean, a motion. Right. I want to amend that motion, not real estate, for litigation. Can I get a motion?
Motion.
So moved by Mr. Palin, second by Mr. Smallwood. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. And now. Okay, you're good. Members of Council, you have before you request for authorization to increase the settlement by $100,000. Is there a motion?
So moved.
The Howell Avenue Extension Project Condemnation Negotiations. Name of the attorney? Jack Hancock.
Okay.
It's a law firm. The style was Fabian versus Greenland.
Okay, that's a motion. Mr. Smallwood gave the motion, and then second by Ms. Davis. Any other questions?
So the motion is to authorize the attorney in the case of Fabian versus Greenland up to $100,000.
Up to an additional
$100,000.
Right. Resolve the case. Mr. Smallwood, is your motion, then is second by Ms. Davis. Any questions by comment by counsel? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Davis, second by Mr. Heath. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.